than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. Well, what a game that was. Who would have thought the Ravens would actually get in six preseason games this year? Amazing!
Dude, I'm fantastic. I finally got my voice back. I didn't have it for 2 days.
So, as I saw on TV, that game was a wet one. Torrential downpours, rain. It was raining sideways, it seemed, half the time. You were there, though. You were in the stands. What was the atmosphere like? What was it like to be back at M&T Bank Stadium?
Dude, it was awesome. I mean, I'm one of the weird few fans that love the elements, and I got my wish. I did not want 100 degrees and humid and all that, and boy, was it the opposite. It was more like low 60s, mid-50s kind of feel, fall, raining, cold, windy. It was awesome, and I tell you what, Brent, we were underneath the overpass in Lots G and H, so we really didn't get wet until we walked to the stadium and inside, so I was fortunate enough for that. I loved it. I braved the elements. I went out and just enjoyed it. Got soaked to the bone. It was fantastic. I had a ball. But what makes it better is when the Ravens perform like that, it makes just braving the elements much more. I mean, it was kind of, I'm not comparing Sunday to the New Year's Eve game, but the New Year's Eve game that we played against the Bengals, probably the coldest tailgate I've ever been at. I mean, the wind was blowing. It's like, you know, what was some chill in the single digits, and it was bad. And as we, of course, we're losing 24-10. It was miserable. Oh, it's cold. But when the Ravens take the lead and they're almost making the playoffs, oh, you don't care about the cold. It's awesome. But then they lose, and the first thing out of your mouth is, boy, it's cold. This sucks. But no, I mean, you know, when the Ravens are doing what they're doing and balling on all cylinders, man, I don't care if it's raining, snowing, hailing. I know Lightning we can't play in. What did it seem like to you, man? What did you see?
Well, I was down in Ocean City, Maryland, and I was enjoying a nice long weekend there. It was windy, it was rainy, it was cloudy the entire weekend. Not a good time to be at the beach. But anyway, so I went to the Crab Bag, which is around like 130th, 131st, and they were opening up a brand new deck there, and they were doing a bowl and oyster roast for the game. You got there at 11 o'clock, they did like breakfast sandwiches, then it was all-you-can-eat oysters, crabs, shrimp. They had some ribs, some chicken, anything you could really think of food-wise, they could give it to you. It was all you could drink, you know, Miller Lite, Coors Light beer, Bloody Marys. So, I mean, I definitely had my fill. It's how you want to start a Ravens season in Maryland. You know, nothing but oysters, shrimp, and crabs down at the beach. So that was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed it. We were undercover, so I was pretty happy that we weren't, like, out on an open deck getting wet while we were watching the game at the bar or something like that. But it was a ton of fun to see. I couldn't get over the score. It was insane that these guys were doing so well. It's been a long time since we've seen Joe perform that way. And even in those elements with such torrential downpours with the wind, Joe looked completely and totally unfazed. I haven't seen Joe Flacco look this confident in a very long time.
No, you have to reach way back, and I feel like what the season opening game, just like that, it reminds me of the 2012 season when we opened up and whipped the Bengals on Monday Night Football. Was it like 44-10 or something like that? And it was the same way. The offense came out gangbusters, and it was just like it was just a crazy explosion. And you know, I feel like I feel like this game is so flawless. I mean, yeah, right. You can't really play a flawless game. I mean, you know, but I feel like this was so well played by the Ravens that the only thing I can nitpick right now is Brandon Carr not putting the football into his right hand on the interception return. He kept it in his left hand, which was in the inside of field. That's the only thing I can almost nitpick about.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great way to start the season. I mean, you know, it's a quick turnaround where we're previewing and reviewing all in the same episode this week because the Ravens do play against the Bengals tomorrow. I mean, what a game! But I want to stick with Joe Flacco here for a second. What an amazing performance by Joe, and you can tell, you know, you and I were talking, does Joe not being in those last two preseason games affect him with his new wide receivers or any of his new talent out there? Joe looks ecstatic. He was throwing this ball all over the place. I mean, just absolutely amazing. He was using every single tool that he had. I mean, he was throwing passes to every single wide receiver. We saw Nick Boyle have a great game. We saw Mark Andrews come out and look like anything but a rookie. We saw Alex Collins come out and get some yards there. I mean, absolutely fantastic. Joe, this offense is so versatile right now. Joe has so many weapons. Joe literally is like a kid in a candy store. How long has it been since we've seen Joe just friggin' launch it down the field? I mean, what was that pass to John Brown, like 70 yards across the field, something like that? This is a recharged offense. If everyone can stay healthy, man, this offense is going to be dangerous going forward.
Oh, it's going to be awesome, man. And just, it was refreshing to see. And how crazy was it that all three receivers got in the game? You know, each new addition caught a touchdown. That's awesome. And they made an impact right away in the tight ends, man. We were worried about, like you said, like we were talking about Hurst being down 3 to 4 weeks and who's going to step up. Dude, Max Williams was even in the mix, and Nick Boyle and Mark Andrews, man, were just tearing up the middle of the field right from the get-go, man. And I can't say enough how important that is, because the middle of the field was open all day, and I feel like when they finally covered that, it was the receivers, man. John Brown, one play that sticks out for me. I'm not even going to get to the touchdown, but how about a second and 26, and Flacco just launches the ball for a 29-yard pass to Brown? How crazy was that? I mean, you really didn't get to see that last year, or even if not in the last 2 years, I can remember, where it was just that simple. And everything, even in the rain and the elements, they opened it up where the running game wasn't really going. I mean, Alex Collins' run was pretty good, but if you look at a stat line, he only had 13 yards rushing, 8 of them were on the touchdown run. Mm-hmm. So the running backs provided a break. But the focal point was the pass game and the defense. This was old school Ravens defense. This was old school Ravens formula, wasn't it? Not Brandon, where it was the offense gets up, the defense goes to work, and it's game on and pretty much game over at that point, because you had to feel good where the Ravens got the ball first because the Bills deferred. Flacco and the offense came right down. They capped off the drive, an 80-yard drive, took half, I think over half the first quarter. So from a defense, I want to hone in on this from last year versus this year, and this could be a big formula heading in. Last year, how many times did the offense get frustrated and go 3 and out, and the defense got to try on the field? When the defense, our defense specifically, is on the field more often, okay, they're going to get gassed, yeah, and they're going to be lazy and make plays. So how refreshing is it as a defender when, okay, halfway through the first quarter, you're already rocking out to the field on your home and slash season opener with a 7-0 lead, and you're like, okay, guys, okay, you did your part. Hold the phone. We're going to hold our end of the bargain. Not only did the defense start out pretty much only, unless you can get a pick six or something like that, they started with 2 straight 3 and outs. And how impressive is this? The Bills did not convert a first down the whole first half. I think until the point where Josh Allen entered the game and he rushed a few and threw a long pass, the Bills had less than 100 total yards probably halfway through the third quarter. They ended the game with like 150-something total yards. It was impressive. It was just a total domination from the get-go. Dude, when we're looking at the scoreboard and it's 40-0, we just kept laughing. And I'm just sitting there laughing in the stands like, this is fun. I can't remember the last time that I had this much fun looking at the scoreboard and going, man, this is impressive. I can get used to that. And you watched it out there in Ocean City. So, like, with the crowd, with where you were at, was it a lot of, you know, positive reaction? Were fans still skeptical? Were like, oh, let's see what happens on Thursday? Or were like, okay, we're seeing this change already.
I mean, everybody was not shocked. Honestly, everyone was so happy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not really shock. It's like, hey, this is great, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was football was fun again. That was a big thing. I mean, the last couple of years, football has not been fun to watch. No. You know, from a casual fan's perspective, I guess you can say. So, I mean, it was good to see the Ravens just completely trounce this team, and a lot of people down there were kind of – it was a mixed bag because you are in Ocean City. It's sort of a vacation town, so there were a lot of Redskins. There were a lot of Eagles fans. It was kind of like a mixed crowd there, but everybody was watching the Ravens, and I think everybody who was fans of other teams kind of took note and were like, ooh, this team right here, they might – you know, have a shot at it. How much was it of this team of this past game? How much was it, do you think, of the Ravens being dominant? Are they that good? Or is it just the fact that Buffalo potentially was not as good as, you know, they possibly could be, or they're just not a good team this year? Was this a dominant display on a lesser team, or was this just the fact that the Ravens are going to be this good going forward?
You bring up a great point, and I'm happy you did, but you must have seen my tweet earlier. I don't know if you did. I kind of was like chirping at this a little bit, where a lot of people were saying that, well, it's the Bills. They got no quarterback. They don't have this. They don't have that. And I'm like, enough already. I don't care if it's just the Bills. You know how hard it is to, you know, let alone win a game in the NFL, but score touchdowns and this and this and that? They won a game, an NFL game, by 44 points. Look at college football scores, Brandon. Okay, you're seeing college team didn't the University of Miami just win a game 77-0? Did they not?
77-0. Good lord.
Yeah, no, yeah, it just happened last weekend. 77. That's college scores. This is what happens when a Division I college plays like a D3. This is the NFL. They're all in the same. They're all making millions of dollars. They have the same. Now the talent, yeah. You know, this isn't the, you know, the Ravens weren't playing against Aaron Rodgers, and we get that. So I'm not that naive. But at the same time, they have LeSean McCoy. They got some pros, Calvin Benjamin. They have, you know, Charles Clay. They got pros. They got some good players on defense. I mean, there are no slouches. And again, I don't know the Bills like I do the Ravens, but I'm hard-pressed to say I'm sure they have probably over 75% of the roster returning from the playoff team last year, which they had the same record as the Ravens, but with tiebreakers, they got in. So they were a 9-7 team just like us. So, you know, I'm not saying they weren't the Browns. This isn't your 0-16 Browns, who, by the way, we'll get to that at the end of the show here and talk about the rest of the breakdown and moving on to the preview here. But that's what I'm saying is it is a little bit, because it's Nathan Peterman, it's Josh Allen. I mean, they feasted on these mediocre pedestrian quarterbacks, and that's what we do around here in Baltimore. The record bodes well, apart from Mitch Trubisky last year breaking that streak. And no, Nate Peterman's not a rookie, but Josh Allen was. And we just beat up on him from the get-go, 6 total sacks, 2 interceptions, almost a pick 6 to the 1. But what the Ravens I saw this week is they took the opportunity to show not only the Bills but us that they have that closing mentality. What stuck out at me is the end of the second quarter with the toe drag swag touchdown to Crabtree. Most Ravens teams would get up to the line, spike the ball, go on for 3. I mean, at that point, was it – because, I mean, they were 26-0 at half. So, yeah, so they were up, 18, 19. So at that point, they could have been very content with taking 3, but they had that Patriots team killer mentality, like, no, we're going to beat you 60-0. I don't care, because as fast as we score 20 points, you guys can score 20. So they surprised me with a fake spike, and Joe Flacco throws it just a perfect, perfect pass, drops it in the bucket, and Michael Crabtree does his thing and toe drag swag this thing to a touchdown with, like, 8 seconds left in the half. It was just awesome. And you never seen that killer instinct in the Ravens. And I think now with the weapons and the confidence, that just shows. And speaking of that, Crabtree all day with the elements, they would be dropping balls. And Tua Flacco said, no, it's okay. We're going to go right back to you. And there was a lot of – I can go in the nuance of this game, man. I broke this down because I actually got to watch some of the highlights on the television, and you probably saw it. But what stuck out to me is the run-pass option, which is called RPO, obviously, for short – down with the sneak touchdown over the seam. They had the option to hand it off over onto the right side with Alex Collins. The defense went that way. Joe Flacco kept it and threw a quick strike to Snead up the seam there, and he scored. So there was a lot of quick, deceptive play calling against the opposing defense that allowed the Ravens to make these plays. What I also wanted to break down was how refreshing was it to see Joe Flacco instead of like rolling to his right and throwing out of bounds. Again, you never want to throw across the field because usually it ends up an interception, but how refreshing was it that he hit not only John Brown but Buck Allen on some pass plays where he kept his head up and looked down the field and goes, oh, you're open, I'm going to get you the ball, and it was a completed pass, man. So there was a lot of great things that you were like, it raised your eyebrows a little bit. Like, yeah, it was exciting to watch, and you were just happy all around, but you had to sit there and take it back and go, you know what, this isn't your father's Ravens, man, especially with Flacco as of recently. This is like what just happened. But what happened is Flacco's healthy, no knee brace. He's over a year removed from the injury, okay? And he's got some confident weapons who are healthy, and we're the healthiest team right now this far. We know Kenneth Dixon went down. He's put on IR, so that's going to allow Buck Allen to jump in. But right now, man, I just really can't rave of that about how humming the offense is and how humming the defense is, and special teams, man. It's just everything was put together and set it up, and really, I mean, we really can't break this down any more straightforward than this was a great football game. We won by 44 points in the NFL. It's hard to do. Very hard to do.
Absolutely, it's hard to do. Crazy stuff. Two more guys I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about Tavon Young. Definitely feel like we have missed him on defense. He came in,
made
an immediate impact. And then I also want you to talk about Tavon Young, and I want you to talk about Lamar Jackson. We saw him, I think, a little bit more than either of us figured that we were going to see him. He was in the first half. What did you think of Tavon Young's impact, and what did you think of Lamar Jackson's impact? Was one a little bit bigger than the other? Do you think Lamar was used correctly? What are your thoughts?
Tavon Young, big X factor. I mean, how often have I raved about this in the offseason? You know, last year when he went down in April, man, it was detrimental to the success last year. We missed him. I mean, and this is funny, man, because we're forgetting that we're missing Jimmy Smith for four games. Jimmy Smith's not out for the year. So we're playing this well without basically our best corner. Tavon Young steps in, and he was basically showing that he is the player that we thought he was. Came in, first two sacks. It was great, man, just making plays all around. Love his young talent, just flying around the ball, you know, flying straight to the quarterback to make plays. And also on the other side of the ball, the rookie Mark Andrews, man, and the other rookie that went down, Hayden Hurst, Mark Andrews stepped up and provided well in the passing game, made some great plays, and showed the poise that we need in that position. And you mentioned Lamar Jackson. Did I not get on their case a little bit on the last show about doing them trick plays, and there's no room for that right now?
Yeah, when we saw Lamar on the field, I kind of was thinking of what you were saying, that these guys, you know, Lamar's on the field, they're like, all right, we kind of know what we got to do now. You know, it kind of almost was like showing your hand in a game of poker.
Right. Like, it was like, really? When it happened, I kind of just like rolled my eyes and was like, all right, let's see what happens. If it wasn't for that penalty, the first play would have went off of that hitch, because they kind of did that RPO where they kind of – it was kind of crazy because Flacco was under center. I seen Lamar line up left, and I'm pointing him out there. I'm like, oh, Lamar's down the field, and he does the old fake reverse. I'm thinking like, okay, Flacco, he's going to run around. He's going to hand it off, and Lamar's going to go around the left for an end around. Well, no, they faked that, and because the defense went that way, he handed off to Alex Collins, and Alex Collins ran right where the defense wasn't. Unfortunately, there was a pick called, if I recall, or something of that, or could be a hold, that brought the play back. But the play worked, even though it didn't result in a positive gain, digging to the penalty. But it was just got kind of things. And then you see the creativity, like some of the things I didn't like, where you would have Flacco lined up and he would barely take a step forward. Obviously, he's a decoy. And then you would see Lamar try to take it as a quarterback draw or make a play. I feel like I think they kept trying it, but I felt like they did it because it was their opponent and they were up so high. So it was like, hey, let's just run it out here. But what was refreshing and also concerning to me until I understood why they did it and I called it out before the game was over was 10 minutes into the third, and here comes Lamar Jackson and Flacco's on the bench. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't fourth quarter. I feel better if this was 10 minutes in. I said, we have a whole two quarters left. why is Lamar in? And I was all like flipping out in the stands, like yelling, like, oh my God, watch him start tanking. And here come the Bills with like two straight touchdowns. It'll be like the Super Bowl again where we're up big against the Niners. And oh my God, and I was already losing my mind. And the fans had to calm me down because I'm thinking like, way too early, coach. But when I understood why and how comfortable they were, it was, what, 40-0 at that point, and they still outscored the Bills 7-3 even with him in it, and he led a touchdown drive. I understood why, because the Ravens play a road game on Thursday, and how great of an advantage was it that Flacco essentially played like an hour and a half of football, you know, two quarters and a little bit in the second half, and was like they got to rest him, and I knew Suggs wasn't out there, and then little by little they started pulling starters off, and that's the key, man. That was probably the best stat of the day. Then all everything that came together was we got up so big that we have an advantage going on the road tomorrow night that we're recording the night before that they got the rest. Flacco played two quarters, and he had a 120 passer rating of two and essentially two quarters in a few minutes, and he probably had a way better stat line than half the quarterbacks in the league on Sunday. I can tell you that right now. So that's impressive. So what if he played the whole game? Who knows? But everything that's the biggest thing to me that stood out was the rest. That was key. And to see Lamar, he led a drive, and he's quick, dude. I'll tell you what. I mean, you can still see he's a rookie, forcing balls there, but, you know, he didn't let the Bills back in the game, and he still managed the offense, and I was really excited to see that. You know, he's a true rookie. Still has got things to work on, but hey, it was great to get him some good playing time, even in the regular season. So it was fantastic, man. I couldn't say more to that.
Now let's look forward now to the first Thursday night football game for the Ravens this season. It's going to be the Ravens and the Bengals. We are recording this on September 12th. That game is on September 13th. So we are just a few hours away, about 24 hours as we record this right now. Have you heard any news? Are they going to do the color rush jerseys this year? Are we going to see the Ravens in that purple and gold jersey like we saw them last year?
No, the NFL nixed the color rush, so I think they're going with regular jersey at this point. The Ravens will probably wear, you know, black pants, road white. They went with all white on Sunday, so they could go with all white again. I don't know. It's my speculation. Didn't hear anything about that, but I did hear the color rush are on the shelf at this point. Could be wrong, but that's what I heard, and hopefully it'll be confirmed tomorrow. But yeah, here we are, man. Short week. Revenge factor. Game number two in a week, man. This is we already had the Bills on the wall, and we got them out of the way and showed them, hey, you know, you might got lucky and got a playoff berth, but they were one and done. But hey, you know, here we are, deja vu again. It's not here, but it's there. But here we go. This is the same team who knocked us out. We need to take care of business, and they're right in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, I might be a little bit fanboy here, but of the color rush jerseys, there was a lot of absolutely just terrible jerseys out there. But the Ravens, I thought were sharp. So
the Ravens were the best. I felt you're right. The worst when the Jets and Bills played, it was Christmas time.
Man, that was bad. That was bad. I would be
with all that powder blue.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, there was a lot of bad ones. But if the Ravens wanted to wear like the all purple with the gold numbers just one game a year, I'd be fine with that. I dug it. But anyway, let's get back. Let's not talk football fashion. Let's get back to Ravens Bengals here. Like you said, the Ravens season ended last year at the hands of the Bengals on New Year's Eve. And that's definitely on my mind. That's on a lot of fans' minds. What do you think about the team, though? Are they thinking, do they hold on to that the Bengals are the ones that knocked them out, that they were one play away, that they gave up so many points towards the end of the game? Is that something you think the players are holding on to and are maybe seeking revenge or maybe redemption? At going against the Bengals on this Thursday game?
I mean, it's probably in their back of their minds, especially those who are still in the team from last year. But I think I wish I was a player to speak for their behalf, but if I were to put myself in their shoes, it's in the back of my mind way back there, but that was last year, can't change it, this is this year, and they're in front of us. But just like the Bills, I don't think they were – when they went in this game and they were making the plays, I don't think any Raven over there was probably like, "That's take that Buffalo, that's what you get." But they already got their medicine because Buffalo didn't even win their playoff game they got in, so it doesn't matter. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't even score a touchdown. They didn't score 3 points. Same amount of points they scored on Sunday. So, and they lost to the eventual AFC title representative, which was the Jaguars, I believe. So, going back to that, it's there. But right now, I think it's an opportunity to take a stranglehold early in the division. Ravens are 1-0. Bengals are 1-0. And right now, it could really bode well for any of these teams to get on top early, be 2-0, and have that divisional win out early. You know, in the Ravens' respect, I don't know the Bengals' schedule, I have to look it up, but for the Ravens, if just say best case scenario, they win the game, you know, you're 2-0, 1-0 division, you got 10 days off, and then you come home against the Denver Broncos, the AFC opponent, and you're back home, which we'll talk about at the end of the show. It's a big weekend here in Baltimore next weekend. So if the Ravens can take care of business, things are just going to get crazier and crazier as we move on. But even if you lose, you're 1-1 early in the season. It's not that big of a deal. You got 14 more games, but you got to take care of business. And I feel like the game is so close that, hey, can they carry that mojo and carry it from here to there and just execute? But it's just you playing the game plan and keeping it simple. You know, just because you're on the road or home doesn't think things change. I mean, yeah, you know, some signals change because there's noise and that, and there's hostile environments, but I feel like the game plan should be the same. You know, get the ball, attack. You know, it's not the same game plan drawn up for a Bills defense versus a Bengals defense, because this defense is very physical, as we know, and they were the only team of all the teams in that played Sunday in all the games. Every team was on the docket this weekend. Obviously, no buys in week one. There was only one helmet call, and I think one player threw it out. And guess who it was? It was on the Bengals. No surprise. So that's another thing, is we know how physical they can be. You just want to watch that head hunting, and hopefully they don't knock out one of our players here, because it's just going to be one of those slobber knockers. It's AFC North football, and it's been noted that there has been some, you know, cheap shots, and we've seen it. So I feel like the Ravens really have to watch out for that, and really watch out for the game plan. But dude, they got their hands full this weekend, or I would say tomorrow night, not this weekend, coming up to start week two of the NFL season, and the Thursday night football schedule starts with this game. So all eyes are going to be on us on NFL Network. It's going to be awesome.
That's right. And there's two big parts of the Bengals team. Of course, they've got AJ Green, Joe Mixon. What does the Ravens defense have to do to stop these two? That's a lot of talent in those two guys. Joe Mixon, I mean, he's a fantastic talent. He can make the holes where he has to. He can find the holes on defense. What do the Ravens have to do to slow these two guys down?
Well, the slow AJ Green down is going to be the toughest part, because AJ Green has had career games against the Ravens. I remember a 200-yard game in there. I remember a Hail Mary to force overtime. He's killed us, dude. And remember when the X Factor is going to be watching Marlon Humphrey on him, because last game AJ Green hardly did anything with Humphrey on him, and Humphrey did the same against Antonio Brown. So I feel like right now, the X factor wouldn't be Jimmy Smith on the field. It would be Marlon Humphrey. And that's where I feel like they should shadow and key him, maybe shade a safety over to help, not to leave big holes, because they got playmakers. It wasn't even AJ Green who beat us last year. It was Tyler Boyd, man. He ran like, what, 50 yards almost untouched through the defense. And I feel that defense was under the direction of Dean Pease. Now, this defense has Martindale. He actually blitzed a lot more on Sunday. So I feel like to get after a Green, to stop a Mixon, to stop a Dalton-led offense, because these guys are quick. Joe Mixon is quick. He's a shifty back. He's not one of those big bruisers. He's just like every other back, Le'Veon Bell, and that is holding out. You know, they're not these hard, like a Jerome Bennis were back in the day, where it was, you know, Ray and Jerome. Oh, I'm going to meet you in the middle, and we're going to clash like Titans. It's these backs are catching more passes than receivers. They're shifty. They're small. They're finesse backs. They like to make big plays with their feet and agility. So I feel like the Ravens have to probably do a different defense, maybe a spy. And that's the way I think they have to attack, but they can't get over greedy, because I feel like if they over blitz, you know, that's where Andy Dalton can dump it off to a Tyler Eifert over the middle, and a Joe Mixon can take a screen pass to House, AJ Green 1-on-1. There's a lot of danger. So again, going back to my original statement earlier where I was like, okay, well, it's just the Bills. They're still an NFL team. Yeah, but this team's a little bit better. So I feel like you still assess it differently. It's a divisional game. They got better playmakers, one of the premier receivers in the league. But you have to take it for what it is and make the matchups work in your favor. But it's going to be a challenge, dude. It's going to be a big challenge.
Now, for the Ravens, on this past Tuesday, they had a couple guys that did not practice. Of course, you know Hayden Hurst was not on the field. There's no expectation of him to play at all on Thursday. We're thinking that we might see him up against the Broncos next week. Willie Henry was also out. Maurice Kanadeh was also out. And then Kenneth Dixon, running back Kenneth Dixon, was out, did not practice, and he has actually been put on the IR list. What does it mean for this game and the season to lose Kenneth Dixon, because the guy has shown a lot of talent. However, he has not played very often due to injuries and suspensions. I mean, we didn't see him at all last year. He's missed, I think, 26 out of 33 potential games. What does it mean going forward for the Ravens not to have Kenneth Dixon there?
Well, it's going to be a huge loss, and I say this because, you know, he's that change of pace back. I've always believed in his talent. He was there in the mix on Sunday, man. It's just unfortunate he has to go down. Not to make light of his injury, but on the flip side, that was our only major injury. So I feel like, again, being this healthy so far this year, along in the season, it's been well for the Ravens so far. But they miss him. It's going to be huge, man, because now you're stuck with Collins and Buck. Now what do? Bring up a practice squad? Or, you know, they got some guys there. So it's going to be interesting to see right now how that changes the offensive strategies or the play calling, because I know Ken Dixon was worked into that wrinkles and in those offensive schemes in some way or shape or form. And he was listed as number two back. But all three of these were a timeshare. I mean, obviously Collins is the bell cow here in Baltimore. And looking at what they provide, but it was just hard to see because in looking at the flow of the game, if I remember, I know Allen was in there with the first team, Buck Allen, and then Dixon was there as well. And I know Dixon played a lot in the second half, so I'm not sure if he was that third back used, but the way the game was going, it was just so out of hand. I guess it was such a blur. I didn't really pay attention who was really second and third in that regard. I felt like they split each time unless you saw it differently on TV. I really couldn't pinpoint that. But a loss of his nature, I wouldn't say it's, you know, it's not like losing another key player. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put him down in that regard, saying, okay, well, we can afford to lose. No, we can't, because we need everybody healthy so we can make the best run possible to this playoff. So Dixon, I just loved his dynamic playing ability and his explosiveness, and it's really unfortunate he can't stay healthy again for year number two, man. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's just going to play out to where he's just going to be oft injured, where he's just going to play out his rookie contract, and that'll be sayonara. I don't know. But right now it's not looking good. But I expect the Ravens to maybe evaluate that and see what happens in year three.
Now, I was talking to a guy at work, and I don't think this is really going to happen. But what are your thoughts? Is there any sort of potential? I mean, I think it's kind of funny. Is there any sort of potential that you might see a guy like Terrence West come back to the Ravens? He was released by the Saints at the end of August. He hasn't re-signed anywhere else. Do you see him potentially coming back to the team at all?
Actually, that's intriguing. I don't. It wouldn't surprise me, but I don't see a Terrence West coming back to this team. It's just something I don't think the Ravens would consider. I think the ship has sailed on that. Again, could be wrong. If you're going to put me on the spot, I'm going to say no, I don't think they're going to go that option. But now that's a great point. It's a great player to think about because he used to be here and there's a schemes, but and it's still Marty's offense. And he's familiar with that, but you just don't know. I don't know what he's been doing, you know, what kind of football shape he's in, even if he has been working out or just chilling, waiting for that call. You know, I don't know if he's worked out. I haven't seen him really sniffing out other teams or other teams really trying to find mutual interest. But no, I think that one would be a far-fetched one. But again, if it were to happen, a small chance, would not be surprised.
Now, with Kenneth Dixon going down, we were just talking about how Joe Flacco had all these different targets and all these different tools to work with on the field against Buffalo. Ken Dixon goes down, and one of his tools kind of goes away. How is this going to affect Joe and the rest of the offense? You know, we said how against Buffalo there was just so many targets for Joe to go to. Now he's down one. Is that going to really affect this team? Like, are they going to be passing more against this Bengals defense? Do you expect them to run more? Is Alex Collins now going to have a bigger role against the Bengals defense? What do you see Joe and the offense doing against the Bengals on Thursday?
Well, I felt like no matter what, the Bengals defense has given Joe Flacco fit. It's just this one defense he can't get over. He used to own them, and then all of a sudden it's just the Bengals overtaking that regard. So I feel like my gut wants to say they're going to go pass heavy again just because, but knowing it's an AFC North game, I feel like the ground game is going to control the clock and really turn, especially if it's third and short. I don't think they're going to go to them short intermediate passes over the middle. I think, you know, the defense might line up pass, expecting Joe to do that because they were winging the ball over the place. But I feel like if they can really give it to Collins and let him go to work, the key's the line, too. The line did well for pass blocking. Flacco was hardly touched. The one sack that was even notched, he was running away from pressure and he didn't get back to the line of scrimmage. It was like a yard short. So I don't even feel like, even though it's registered as a sack on the stat sheet, it kind of really wasn't, because it wasn't like he got pressured and got dropped for like a 9 or, you know, yard loss or more. It was, you know, he was scrambling. So I feel like the lines really can hold. That's going to be detrimental to the success of the running game. So it's just, it's all going to be one loss in trenches, and we know that. If they can move, but dude, Geno Atkins and Carson Dunlap, they're all on the line. And, that's what I fear is going to be a matchup problem, because, you know, looking at the Bills are the Bills, but Bengals are a little bit farther than as far as a step up. So, and they got a stronger defense. It's going to be well, and I think the key matchup is going to be Matt Skura up the middle, man. I think the middle right now is weak. I like to see what happens on this game as far as the matchups with him, and if they're going to just send the house on Skur up the middle, because that's where the pressure is going to come from, and Flacco is going to see that immediately. And the runs, I feel like, are designed up the middle if you really want to ground and pound. So I feel like now you almost have to do sweeps and powers and options outside up the tackle boxes to really get out beyond the tackles there. So that's just my look at that. If I really want to break that down, I really think that's the way it's going to go.
All right, let's finish up this red eye preview. What is your preview of the game? What do you see happening? Who's going to come away with the W on Thursday?
What I see happening is not the drubbing that just happened to the Bills, even though I would love to see it. Don't want to be drinking the purple Kool-Aid this early. It's because, again, you know, Suggs even said it's one game at a time. I know the fans can get ahead of themselves and thinking it's great. But I feel there's something different about this team. This isn't just a mirage or a one-night stand with this team. I feel like, no, we have playmakers and receivers now. The line's healthy. We got Lewis back. We got Yanda back. I think we have identity, and I feel like the Ravens are going to pick up Ray Willett, and Joe Flacco is fearless. And just like Kay Adams of NFL Network alluded to, Joe Flacco's great when he plays angry. He's like Hulk. So I feel like this is, instead of Hulk smash, this is Joe smash. It's the same thing. Remember the contract year? No, I'm going to play out my rookie contract, and you're going to pay me. Oh, what did I just go do? Oh, I just win a Super Bowl and MVP and get you another title. That's what I did. And he says pay me, and they paid him. So now with the little heat with Lamar, and now he's fully healed, and now he's got weapons, you know, with better receivers now, it's like Joe's like, okay, I'm going to show you guys. And he just went out gangbusters and did it. But what can follow that up is another great performance. And I really see the Ravens building upon what happened on Sunday just because it's so close. And I feel like they're just buzzing right now. And I feel like it's not going to be another 40, nothing, you know, anything like that. But I feel like this could be easily a 10 or 14 point win for the Ravens. But I feel like it's going to bode well in the Ravens' favor. I feel like this is going to be this is going to be a 7 point game. Ravens going to be up 7. Dalton driving. Ravens going to shut the door and seal the game with an interception pick, and I'm calling a 20-13 Ravens win.
All right. I love to hear that. A Ravens win, no matter what, that makes me happy. Like you said,
I live to make you happy, buddy. That's all I do. I don't want to make you mad. That means you're not editing the shoes. And that wouldn't be good for our fans.
That's right.
But I got to keep Brandon happy, so I got to keep predicting wins. So the Ravens are going 16-0 winning Super Bowl just to keep Brandon happy. So don't come after me if I'm wrong. I promise.
I might
move.
Yeah, I'm not gonna come after you. Don't worry. I don't know.
It is Halloween. I know you like them Mike Myers masks and stuff. Who knows?
It's coming. I'm so excited for the new Halloween movie coming out.
I know
out.
You're like Mr. Pumpkin, like me, man. I love it. you're like Mr. Christmas Joy. Like you and me are like the same. And my cousin the same way. He's like, can I put my tree up now? Like it's September. Can I just decorate the tree? Or like you just keep the tree up and just change it to like orange and black, not for the Orioles, but like, and then put like Mike Myers ornaments and stuff like that and Jason stuff. I know that's what you would do.
Not a bad idea. I like where your head is at.
Why not?
Now, I think the Ravens are going to come away with a win as well. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be, 40-0 or something like that. This is going to be a little bit tougher. This is really going to be the first test of the year, I think, for the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
I still think Joe and the offense are going to have a great game. I think the defense is going to look fantastic. I just think it's going to be a little bit closer. So it may be closer to about like a 27-10, something like that. Maybe 27-14, 21. Something like that. Not double digits, 20 points away from each other, but it will be a good game. That's what I'm excited about. So,
oh, come on. They're going to blow the doors off of my hoop. But, hey, you never know. But what I want, though, is we went buffalo hunting, and I want to do some Bengal hunting, and I feel like we're going to put the Bengals on the wall. I think this is going to be the second win of the year. Ravens are going to feel good. And I've said it. The first score of the year stacks up. Again, the Steelers game is over 2 weeks away. We'll get to that later, in the month. But, looking at the schedule, I've always said the Ravens are going to start out 3-0 and lose to the Steelers and be 3-1 at that quarter mark. Because, looking at tomorrow night's game, they can take that on the road, division win, come home flying high, 10 days off, coming home. You got the craziness that we're going to discuss in a few here next weekend. And it's just going to be an energy, and then they're going to come home and trounce the Broncos. And that's just how it's going to play out. So I feel like they can, and you might say, Josh, don't get ahead of yourself. Well, I'm a fan and I got the podcast, so I can look ahead into any game I want. I can always look into the Browns game at week 17 and 4-1-2 and say we can win that game. It is what it is. We can talk about that. We're not the players, in the media. We're taking one game at a time. But just looking at it, I've always said I'm taking this one quarter at a time, and that's how I see the first quarter shaping up. Right now we're on the second leg of that on Thursday Night Football against the Bengals. But who knows? We got to take each matchup game by game and see if any casualties happen, if we have a bad game. We got to learn from that. There's a lot of nuances that happen week to week, and it is a week-to-week league. I feel like every team should start 0-0 with that mentality and go, hey, we didn't win a game yet. We need our first win every week. And then that's, you have to strive for it. But if you look at it, the Ravens might need 10 or 11 wins. They got one already. So they're up one in the win column, not in the loss column. And at the end of the day, I don't care if you're playing the Bills or the Patriots or the Aaron Rodgers led Packers. I tell you what, the W column, it doesn't care what team you beat, because all that matters is you beat that team in front of you, and the Ravens are 1-0 playing the Bengals tomorrow night. That's all I look at it. Wanted to ask your opinion about with the quirkiness of the schedule, how do you feel about them flipping the Thursday night game? Usually that Thursday night game is a home and home, but now it's away, and I'm trying to figure out why.
I don't know why they're doing it that way. I think that it is Thursday night, and it's, like you said, the beginning of the Thursday night football games. And I think that they the NFL, and I guess it was the NFL Network, and I think CBS shows the Thursday night games. I think they wanted drama to kick off the season on Thursday nights. Everyone wants to see, you know, that rematch from New Year's Eve. Even if you aren't a Ravens fan or a Bengals fan, you're going to tune in because you know there's a little bit of a heated rivalry there. Maybe not Ravens Steelers, but just as good. I mean, it's a divisional game, and I think that's really just the main purpose of what's there. They want drama, they want a story, and they want to sell, you know, and get people to watch and get those ratings high.
It's always about the money, isn't it?
Yeah, always.
Always, always. Wanted to break down, you know, what is I'll tackle the Ravens if you want to come in on the back of the Bengals. But the Ravens, limited participation in practice for the Ravens was the return specialist was Janarian Grant. And I tell you what, man, he showed some explosiveness, and I really like this guy. I predict originally Tim Wade would get that final spot and provide that, but he just didn't cut out for it. But Janarian Grant was the kind of the underdog in that regard, and I'm really excited to see him doing that on Sunday. I really wanted to keep it up because it was something great to see, because we really haven't had a dynamic returner since Jacoby Jones, so big shoes to fill. We've had a tough time filling that role way back when, since Jermaine Lewis left in the early days. So I feel like, you know, we want to get better in that. Grant's the guy, and you know, we're still holding out Willie Henry with the abdomen, Hayden Hurst with the foot. We know Kenneth Dixon's on the IR with the knee, and Maurice Kennedy's dealing with that thigh issue. That's where they're even staying as far as you know, none of these guys did practice this week, especially on Tuesday. So you know, we'll see, along with the minor injuries we do have. Again, we're fortunate that this list isn't longer, so you have to count the blessings there.
Absolutely. You got to definitely count the blessings there. And for the Bengals, it was nobody. It doesn't seem like anybody was out. There was some limited participation. Wide receiver Cody Core, defensive end Carlos Dunlap. We have Preston Brown. And then full participants in practice were Tyler. Let's see. There was William Jackson, I think. Clint Bowling. And is a cornerback. I don't know how to say his first name. I think it's
Darquez.
Darquez. Darquez. Is that how you say
Darquez?
Darquez. Okay, that was a new
Darquez.
One.
Or Darquez.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Darquez. Darquez Duck. That's his new nickname.
That was a great show.
Oh man, I love that show. I had to watch some episodes. Might be doing that Saturday morning.
Oh, there you go. But some guys, limited participation. Got a lot of people that are coming back on full participation. So, yeah, the Ravens have a couple guys that are on IR, which kind of sucks. But not having Maurice Kennedy there and not having Willie Henry practice, that definitely is leaving the Ravens a little shorthanded, I guess, on defense.
A little bit. Again, you've seen the facts. It wasn't really – missed. It's overshadowed by the dominant play on Sunday. So, you know, if it's a close game, that's going to be the first thing to go to. Oh, well, so-and-so's not there. That's how it's going to go, because anytime it's a close game or we're losing, everything's put under a microscope. But when you're winning a game 40-0, who cares who's hurt or who cares who's out? We're winning a game 40-0. It's the Ravens are good. So, I hope they prove that it's not a mirage, man. Yeah, we keep this thing rolling. We're not going to win every game like that, but if they put together that solid game plan, man, sky's the limit for this team this year, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for the Thursday night game, one of the few primetime games that the Ravens do have. And boy, man, I can't wait to get after it. It's going to be awesome. Thursday night football. Hope everybody gets out of work and gets everything ready to go, man, because it's going to be fun. And it's going to be a great AFC North battle. Tell you that much.
That's right. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Red Eye preview?
We have covered everything. Quoth the Raven, nevermore. But we do have some kind of bonus. I wouldn't say breaking news, but it's kind of like bonus coverage. So, I prerequisite by saying Quoth the Raven, nevermore. But there is a little bit more to be had in this one, isn't that right?
I think so. So going past
special.
Yeah, going past this game on Thursday, the Ravens announced that next Saturday on the 22nd, Ray Lewis will be back in town for Baltimore, and the dude is getting his own parade downtown. It will start around 10 o'clock on Key Highway and Light Street and ends at City Hall with a big fan fest in front of City Hall downtown in Baltimore. Mayor Catherine Pugh announced that today. Have you already set up your lawn chair? I know you're probably ready to go, and you're gonna stake a spot on the parade route.
Well, I thought about that till I realized how dangerous Baltimore City is. So I don't know if I want to camp out overnight at City Hall, but I'm trying to get there as early as I can. I'm going to make it work because I want to be at the end of that route. Just like it's like when I got up, and be honest with you, I mean, I was at the stadium, but for the Super Bowl parade, I was at the stadium gates at like 2:30 in the morning and sat there till like 8 in the morning when the gates opened, and I got my spot for the parade, and I sat there all morning. So I don't know if I want to do that in the middle of the night at City Hall. Who knows what critters are out there at night, or if I survive. But yeah, I'm trying to stake out my – but I'll definitely be there. And when I saw that news breaking, I couldn't have been more excited, because when I was at the stadium, they did announce the next day, obviously, the Ravens are home against the Broncos. But during that game – Ray's still going to be in town during the game at some point, whether it's halftime or pre-festivities. I don't know yet, to be determined. We'll find out a little later, I guess. But the Ravens are honoring Ray Lewis and commemorating that Hall of Fame induction. So, so it's going to be a crazy weekend. That's why I was trying to say, you know, not to try to look past it, but if the Ravens can take care of business, man, even if they don't, it's still going to be a crazy weekend. But if they do, the electricity is just that much more energizing, because the team's 2-0, we're riding high, resting, we're all healthy, and we can get out with a great win. Then, you know, all eyes are going to be on the Broncos and a Ray Lewis festive. And that's kind of what I'm worried about. You know, I'm going to give you a little nugget as a Purple Friday preview, kind of in the distance here a little bit. But I'm kind of concerned, because with all the hoopla around Ray, I just hope it doesn't take that far distraction. I know it's a lot of fanfare versus players, so the players are still going to be in all, you know, so I'm sure he'll meet with the team, but I feel like I just wouldn't want the team distracted because of all that going on, and then now I got to perform for Ray, and then you get nervous. But anytime Ray's in town, I mean, you know, Bolden was the legend of the game this past Sunday, and boy, did they show it was kind of crazy, because Bolden was a legend of the game, and the offense came out gangbusters, which all three new receivers caught touchdowns. So I feel like, hey, Ray's in town, I feel like they're going to really get it. Can't wait to see what next weekend brings, man. But it's going to be a special, special weekend.
Absolutely. It's always good to have Ray in town. I mean, off the football field, Ray Lewis has meant so much to Baltimore. He would stick around after games and talk to people, you know, on the streets that really needed some guidance. After the riots happened a couple of years ago, Ray made a video, put it out on his website, and then he was on a plane, came back to Baltimore, helped with the cleanup a little bit after those riots. So Ray has meant an absolute just so much to this city, and the city has embraced him. He you know, he's accepted Baltimore as his second home. He has a lot of businesses here. So it'll be great to see him come back and have a parade and enjoy it with the Hall of Fame, you know, induction with the city of Baltimore. He said that's what he wanted to do. So it'll be great to have Ray Lewis back in the city, on the field, off the field, whatever. He's always making an impact no matter where he goes. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. You can always tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, if you like us over on Facebook, you can be notified whenever Josh decides to go live. He went live on Sunday on his way to the game, so that was kind of fun, waking up and being like, oh, hey, there's Josh. He's already ready to go. He's dressed. He's got his eye black on. He's ready to go to the game, celebrate on Sunday. So go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. And, dude, it was just fantastic to enjoy the atmosphere, being there with the fans and having fun and pouring down rain and enjoying a great drubbing of the Bills. And like I was shouting all morning during tailgate, we're going some buffalo hunting and we're going to hunt some Bills. And boy, did we hunt them and put them on the wall. Now we want to hunt some Bengals. And on the hunt, bringing back the mantra from years back when Ray was leading the defense and that whole time to hunt campaign. And I missed that. And that's what I feel like it's already dead this year. We mean business. This team, their time is now and time to hunt. And I can't wait for them to get out there and play Ravens relentless football. Got to take it to Cincinnati. You know, we know. They knocked us out, bitter taste. You know what? It is. It is what it is. Not to the level of the Patriots. Not, you know, when they beat us in the title game and we were right back there and beat them and go to the Super Bowl and winning it all. The different feels. This is week two. It's their home opener. Let's go there and spoil it and show everybody, especially on the national stage, that's been on our cases all week and supporting us and picking us number one in their rankings. And, oh, man, we're for real and we can contend. Well, let's not pretend. Let's continue that contending atmosphere and mantra, and let's go out and win a football game in style, and not only that, but in Raven style. The big swagger defense making plays on offense, everybody stepping up and showing them we mean business and punching them right in the mouth, and let's put them up on the walls, right? We said Bengals are going down on Thursday night. We feel it. Let's go. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.